Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks here today with Kate Hutchcraft and Becky McNeely. How are you ladies today?
Good.
Good. How has your day been?
We're good. We're good. We're just having some adjustment to having two kids. Just scheduling and trying to figure out scheduling and been traveling and all that. So,
yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm slowly putting up my Christmas decorations. So I have my Christmas tree downstairs and then I've been gradually pulling out more stuff. Yesterday I did the kids' trees in their rooms and our room. And today I got down a couple garlands, stuff like that. I'm hoping to get more up.
Did you graduate? Oh my gosh, decorate.
I graduated.
So I have a snow globe that the kids found thrifting yesterday and we're very excited about. So currently there's one Christmas snow globe in my house and nothing else. But we are also getting our flooring replaced next week. Oh. And so I'm trying to decide if I want to put everything up in a construction zone or if I want to just wait. But if I wait, well, I just don't want to. So
I feel like the wisest choice is to wait, but that's not the funnest choice. So
no, I know. Yeah. So I'm really torn between, you know, Christmas cozy vibes and practicality here. And I'm not appreciating that. So
right.
I'm very excited for new flooring though. It'll be really
I'm excited for you. Yeah.
The carpet in our living room has driven me nuts since we've been here. And it's one of those things that I thought, you know, one day we'll get to replace that. And then we are actually being gifted some flooring by my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. They redid a house and they panic overbought flooring and ended up with way too much and they can't return it. And they're like, hey, can we come replace your floors? And we're like, yes, yes, please. Thank you.
I will allow it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're going to host them next weekend and hang out with them for a little bit. And they're going to come and replace those. Well, I say they, I'm pretty sure Grace and I are going to be hanging out, drinking coffee with the kid, Brandon and Luke to replace our flooring. So I think what I'm probably going to do this week is go ahead and get all my fall stuff down and clean all the surfaces. That way, as soon as the flooring is in and everything's settled, I'm just ready to like spring up all the Christmas stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I am a huge advocate of that. I loved doing that the past couple of years, just taking all my fall stuff down, having my house look really naked and look like I was moving, and then kind of basking in the bare minimalness of everything for a few days and then being like, okay, I think I'm ready to put some more stuff up. So yeah. I really enjoy that. But yeah, I'm just gradually putting up Christmas decorations. I did this last year too. And instead of just one day decorating everything and exhausting myself, I've just been like, I'm going to grab the bedroom trees. I'm going to grab my garlands. Yeah. And then magically the house is suddenly decorated for Christmas. So
yeah, right now that Christmas snow globe is a hot commodity at our house because it's the one Christmas item. And the kids are like, when do we decorate for Christmas? So there's this one snow globe. And Kate,
just
you'd be
stand
so
around
proud.
And stare at it.
Yeah, literally. And Kate, you'd be so proud it makes noise.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know that when I purchased it, and it might have changed my mind, but it plays these really obnoxious Christmas tunes, but the children are thrilled. So I'm just grinning and bearing it. And that's our holiday spirit for right now. But when I brought it home, I thought Kate would be so proud because typically I don't like things that make noise. I just don't. Kate is all about the loud colors and the noise and she's like, bring it all on. And I'm not that kind of mom.
I sent Becky a picture of what we got Audrey for Christmas. And well, I didn't send it. I guess she commented on my Instagram of me asking other parents what they thought about it. And she said, better your house than mine, sister.
But it was.
And I said, just buckle up for play dates because it's just chaos over at my house when we have play dates.
I love it.
We just have all the noises happening at one time.
I just love it that you're completely unfazed by it all. That's what impresses me. You're just kind of like, what? What? What's the matter? Is this loud?
I feel like I should be more fazed. I wouldn't have imagined 10 years ago that I could enjoy that.
I think that's a great
quality. But for some reason, it's something that
It's a really great quality. Okay, so actually today we are going to talk about practical hospitality. And this is part two of our hospitality series that we have started this month to really gear us up for the holidays and get our hearts in the right place for a beautiful holiday season. So today is going to be practically, what does that look like? Some things that we do, tips and tricks, all the stuff, right? Okay, so anybody want to start with what they have? If not, I'll start with my one thing.
I have categories, if that's helpful for us.
Of course it is. I knew you would. So I'm like, Becky, you just start it with how you want to structure this. I know you have it structured out on your paper that you printed out and typed. I have thoughts in my head.
I do. I even have headings and bullet points. And I'm sorry, it's a flaw or a help. I'm not sure. But the categories I have are new to hospitality. So okay. What are our tips if people are new to hospitality?
Okay.
Daily hospitality, just like within our own homes, daily with our people. Simple hospitality, which is like you're having a friend over for coffee. Or you're hosting a play date, you know, something small like that. And then big hospitality. So kind of starting like mm-hmm. we talked about last week when we were talking about the heart of hospitality, we were talking about, you know, start if hospitality is something you're not gifted in yet, right? Yet. Then start with what's small, start with your people, start with your home and getting that in a good spot and then work outward. So that's kind of the way that I structured my notes was, okay, just brand new. So we can start there if we want. Brand new. If you are new to hospitality, you've never hosted somebody, you are super intimidated by it and you've never seen it happen practically. I know growing up, we didn't have a ton of people at our house all the time. And so it wasn't something that I saw put in practice all the time. And so when I became a wife and my husband was in ministry, it was this learning curve for me of how do I do hospitality? What does that look like? So what are you guys' tips for people that are new to hospitality?
If you're new to hospitality, I would say start with just who do you want to hang out with naturally? Don't make it overly complicated. Is there somebody that you've been wanting to get to know or someone that you just enjoy hanging out with? Maybe be intentional about inviting them over and just go from there. And then is this like someone's doing food or what is the...
Anything. Could be. There could be snacks involved.
I think... Two, for people that are starting out and might feel intimidated by inviting someone into their home, or say your homes are under construction, or you feel like maybe it's just not the time to be bringing people in, like you just moved or something like that, you can always ask someone to meet you somewhere and just say, hey, I'm bringing a pan of brownies and lemonade for the kids.
Right.
And that's still a part of hosting, a part of extending that invitation, and you don't even necessarily have to provide anything, but by extending that invitation for somebody to meet you, that is a part of hospitality mm-hmm. on a more simple level that maybe you can kind of ease into hosting with.
My one thing that I've been thinking about with hospitality, and this is whether you're new to it or whether you've been doing it a long time or whether you struggle with it, I think one thing that really helps with inviting people into your home and into your life is having a clear conscience before God. So like if you've been having squabbles with your husband or you're not in good fellowship with your children or like your kids are everything's fussy with your kids or like you're just struggling, making sure that your conscience is clear before God, like you're making things right in your own life, because it is harder to invite people in when things are not at peace with between you and God. So just making sure that your heart before God is right, that you're repentant of sin in your own heart and that things in your family are getting right before you invite people in, because I think that can be a big stressor, is you're trying to be something that you know you're hiding something else.
Yeah.
So you're like trying to put on this face, or you're trying to present this home, or you're trying to present these children, or you're trying to make friends with people whenever there is dirty water underneath the surface that you need to deal with. So having a clear conscience before God, like get things right. Are you saying one thing, but your life is actually doing another? So, like, are you saying that you're a wife that respects your husband, but you've not been being very respectful, or you're demeaning him in front of the kids or something like that, that you need to just get a clear conscience about, say, God, I'm sorry. And husband, I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to do better at that. Or, you know, blowing up the kids or whatever, just really having a clear conscience, repenting of things that you need to repent of, and then inviting people in. Not that you have to be perfect. No one's expecting you to be perfect, but being repentant, a repentant person helps you to be able to be hospitable, I think.
Absolutely. Well, and that kind of brings us into daily hospitality, because we had talked about this last week too, but we should not be more hospitable to those outside of our home than we are to those inside.
Yeah.
Our attitude and our fellowship and our relationships inside the home are far more important, and those need to be in a place of good standing. And like you said, evidence of repentance happening, evidence of just genuine fellowship, not smile kids, people are coming over, but which is what I experienced, but more of just, we actually love each other. We actually have good fellowship. We have healthy relationships happening here, and then opening your door for other people to come in. But in daily hospitality, what are some ways that we can be hospitable practically to people in our own homes?
I was just going to say being a healthy mother in every way. So being a mother that is spiritually healthy, and that you are seeking a relationship with God, and that you are cultivating those daily habits, and then also like making sure that your mental, physical state, doing the best that you can to be healthy in those ways too for your family, so that you can be in a place that you can be a happy, available mother.
Yeah, I think I've been, and I mean, prior to having kids, I worked out all the time, but then, you know, you become a mom, and I was working outside the home as a mom too, for the first couple of years. And there's always an excuse for why not to take care of your body physically. But this year, especially after the health stuff I had last year, I've started really taking my physical health much more seriously than I have before. And I have noticed a huge difference in my mental and emotional bandwidth, as well as my physical, you know, not that I was hugely out of shape, but I was not as strong as I needed to be. Mm-hmm. And now just like energy levels are different, and my capacity to take care of people has greatly broadened as I've been more intentional with, I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to make healthy food choices. I'm going to nourish my body well, not just, you know, eat one meal a day at the end of the day after people go to sleep, you know, things like that, habits that are really easy to get into as a mom, but choosing to take care of my body and myself. And I've also seen my kids start to follow those decisions. You know, when I go to work out now, the kids are like, I want to work out too. And they'll do some of the videos with me. And I see them, as they see me making healthy choices, I see them making healthy choices. And I could not agree with you more, Jordan. Yeah. Taking good care of yourself as a mom in all of those ways, you know, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, having a quiet time every day, making that a non-negotiable, but doing those things first. Yeah.
Well, when you feel able-bodied, that affects a ton of things. Like if you're exhausted and don't feel physically able, it's like you can't hardly manage to keep the laundry going. How can you manage having people over in your home? So I think just, you know, asking God to help you to make wise choices and to get stronger mentally and physically so that you're able to handle extra, which is what hospitality is. It's extra.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think going into that too, what are your family rhythms? So like knowing what you need to structure hosting around for your family. So we're not hosting to the detriment of our disciples in our own home. We're not hosting to the detriment of our immediate family. It should just be an add-on and something that we are doing to bring glory to God, but not to the detriment of our children. So if your kids need to be in bed by 8:30, hosting consistently or doing things consistently that push their bedtime back and make everybody super cranky and crabby and throw off your whole day is not serving your home and your children well. And so thinking about first and foremost, ask your husband, talk to your husband, create a plan. You know, what is too much? Your husband is able to see more than you can of what your ability will be in a certain season. So Ben will know, even though I want to do everything in postpartum, Ben knows that that's not always going to be very helpful if I'm trying to host people and then getting really overwhelmed halfway through a dinner and having to go sit outside because I'm about to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Not that that's ever happened, but it's just knowing I'm hormonal and, you know, week two of postpartum is probably not my best time when I need to go really take a nap. So just thinking about bedtime, thinking about things like cleaning and having systems in place for organizing and purging your home and cleaning your home, all of that will make your hosting experiences easier than if you are constantly moving clutter around or if you're constantly feeling overwhelmed because you wait until people come over to clean. Not that there's anything, not that you have to adhere to super strict everything and be legalistic about things, but Becky has a lot of good resources on her Keeping Home page on Instagram and just having those systems in place so you feel organized and prepared and not overwhelmed to host on whatever level.
I think too, one thing that I naturally was not and still have to work at how to decorate. Jordan, I know that comes naturally to you and you're gifted in that. Like, you can see something and say, oh, this is going to be beautiful here. And I can just add this, this, this. And I'm going, I would never have put those things together, but it's gorgeous. And I think decorating is actually a skill that has to be learned. It's something that Jordan, I've looked at your home. I've looked at other ladies' homes and gone, okay, what do I have that's similar? What can I learn from them? How can I use what I have in a way that's beautiful as well? And seeking to create beautiful spaces in your home for your family is a way to show hospitality to your family. Not just how can I make my house pretty because it's Christmas and we're having people over, but every season, how can I make my home beautiful? What are some things I can freshen up? Can I, you know, I don't know, thrift some curtains? I did that yesterday. And we are all talking about our curtains today. We're all excited about the curtains in the dining room. And it was one of those things where I thought, do we really need these curtains? They were $4 for both of them. Like, why not? And now that we have them up, I'm like, oh, this was such a sweet little way to freshen up the room and everybody's excited about it. And that's an easy way to be hospitable to your home is even if decorating doesn't come naturally to you, look to other people, learn from other people. Jordan, you've come to my house before and Kate, you too, to legitimately decorate it. Granted, I was having surgery, but you can ask your friends that are good at that. Say, hey, I have these bins of things. I don't know what's cute. I don't know what's not. I don't know how to style it in a way that's pretty. Can you come over and teach me? I'll make us all coffee and cookies. Mm-hmm. And I don't know very many women that love to decorate that would say, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
Please don't have me over for coffee.
Yeah, cookies. Or you can say things like, hey, you're good at decorating and I'm good at, like if it's Becky and I, Becky, you come clean for me, I'll decorate your house. Deal. We'll swap skills. Or if you're good at baking, be like, hey, I'll make a pot of soup for your family if you come and decorate my house for Christmas or help me decorate. And just swap skills and help each other. And that really makes a big difference. But Pravi today, I put that garland on the mantle and she was like, can I help you? I was like, yeah. And so she was doing her version of helping, you know? And she was like, oh, I just felt Christmas in my heart. And it's so sweet because you do these little things and she felt Christmas in her heart. And it's just so sweet talking about making your home festive for your people. Like, this is not for a show for others, but I want them to have sweet, warm memories and then invite people into that as well. But yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think another way to show hospitality too is just like as far as daily hospitality to your own people is just anticipate what they're going to need. You know, Jack spent about an hour and a half outside with June this morning stacking wood for our wood stove. And I didn't ask him to spend an hour and a half. I asked him to stack up a couple rows and they went over and above and just were stacking up lots of the wood to make. They're like, oh, daddy's going to be so excited when he comes home. And seeing them anticipate something that would make somebody else happy made me really happy.
Yeah.
And that was them showing hospitality to their dad. Mm-hmm. And likewise, when they came in, I had some cheesy chowder all warmed up for him in little bowls with like fresh bread, you know? Yeah. And so anticipate, think about, okay, my kids are playing outside. I'm going to warm up some soup for them, or I'm going to make hot cocoa, or my kids love tea. We like tea. We like coffee and tea. We're both kind of family. And in the afternoons, Jack always wants a cup of tea. And so I keep a little tea assortment of caffeine-free teas that he can pick from in the afternoons. And little things like that are ways that you can be hospitable to your family. And they're not hard. They're not time consuming. Mm-hmm. It's not burdensome for me to add in some nice teas to my grocery cart. You know, mm-hmm. that's not hard, but it makes him so happy when I look at him at 2 o'clock and say, hey, buddy, do you want some tea? And he's like, yeah. Yes. You know,
and it makes life fun and special. Mm-hmm. And little things like that make life special. And it's magic. Another thing that I was going to say about along the lines of bedtimes and all that kind of stuff was, this is a very practical tip. If you have been around us very long, you've ever been to our house for dinner or anything, you know that Jared kicks people out at a certain time. So it's basically once Jared feels like we all need to go to bed, he's like, all right, the knee slap, you know, good. Thanks for coming, everybody. We're going to kick you out. And Sparks are famous for kicking people out. It's like the evening is done. This will not continue till 11 p.m. with board games and fun, although that is a good time in a certain situation. But if you're doing hospitality and you have little kids and you wake up early and you have other responsibilities going on, you sometimes have to just say, okay, the evening is done now. And that precludes our evening, just being able to awkwardly be done and knowing that that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we have been in your small group when Jared has said that. And the first time he said that, I think it was our first time at small group actually, but the first time he said that, we were like, wow, that was actually kind of refreshing, because he wasn't mean about it. There wasn't, he didn't say it in a mean way. We didn't feel like offended or anything. But I think we've all been in those situations where you're at somebody's house and you're like, I don't know when is appropriate to leave.
Right. I don't know if I'm supposed to or not.
But I also don't want to be rude, but I am falling asleep on my own couch and I don't see an end to the conversation, lovely as it is, but I'm exhausted, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when he said that, we're like, wow, that was actually really refreshing. I really respect him for saying that. And again, he wasn't mean about it or rude about it, but it's okay as a host to say things like, hey, our kids go to bed at 8. Would you guys like to come over from 6 to 7:30? You know, you can put an end time on things. You don't have to say you're here until you don't want to be, you know? Right. And sometimes too,
I think
we always want to leave when we don't want to. You know, you want to leave when you're not quite ready to leave. You don't want to leave when people are like, oh my gosh, we are ready to go, we're done. Or when the hosts are like, we're ready for these people to leave, you know, just kind of being mindful to not overstay that and read some cues, you know. But
what were you going to say, Kate?
Well, I was going to say, piggybacking off of what you said about kind of like boundaries, and it helps, I think, a lot to communicate things in advance, even if you do feel kind of awkward about it. So like one thing that we have a really big pond in our backyard. And one thing that if we ever host off and on throughout the summers, we've hosted pond days where everybody just floats and hangs out. And sometimes we have pizza or everybody brings food or what have you. And one thing we don't allow is kids without life jackets in the pond. And I communicate that every time before people come over, because I don't want to be responsible for someone's kid who doesn't know how to swim. And so that's a boundary that we have. Like, if you don't have a life jacket, you're not getting in unless you're a proficient swimmer and you're like 10 plus. There's no exceptions. And everybody has always, I mean, our pond's 30 feet deep and I don't want to go on a water rescue. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those things where it's very appropriate to have boundaries and communicate them in person when people arrive, or via text. Nobody's ever been offended that I want their kids to wear life vests in our pond. And also, if I was going to say too, if you are a parent with a lot of toys or, you know, things you don't want to get broken or things the kids don't want to play with, you can set limits on that. Put certain toys away, tell parents that they're, you know, these things are off limits. Or, you know, hide things away. Kids' rooms can be off limits if that's the boundary that you set as well. I know Becky and now we do it too, because I hadn't even thought about it up until recently, having just now started having a toddler that can play in her room and that kind of thing by herself upstairs. With friends, we don't allow shut doors. I know Becky doesn't either. Like, there are no kids in a room without an open door or a chaperone if it's like small group night. And all of those are things you can communicate with kids as well. Also, I think important that kids respect each other's bathroom boundaries. Like, we shut the door. We don't need multiple people in a bathroom at a time. All things like that. And you can communicate that over a text with other moms. You can communicate that beforehand. If it's, you know, a problem or something you feel like you need to address, don't hesitate to protect your children and other people's children because you feel awkward. Nobody should be upset that you have boundaries that protect your kids and their kids.
I don't know what other categories there are, but I want to talk about like practical things that you guys do to make hosting a little easier.
Yeah.
I don't know what category that might fall in.
Yeah. The only other ones we have are simple hospitality and big hospitality. So
okay.
That would fall under, I think probably big hospitality. Like, you have lots of people at the house.
Some things that I have done, well, this is just like spitfire bunch of things, but one is sometimes I get out fancy dishes and set a beautiful table and I actually really enjoy that. And that's really, really fun for me. And other times I just need there to be paper plates, but I still have this brain that's like, but I want it to be pretty. So I have found that at Home Goods and Ross, TJ Maxx, all those kinds of places often have really pretty paper plates and pretty cups and pretty napkins. But they're all disposable, so you can throw them away. So if you are having a get-together that you want to still be special feeling, check out those. Rifle Paper Company has beautiful paper plates and stuff. So if you're like, okay, I'm having this big Christmas party, I want it to feel fancy and special, but I can't wash 50 plates, then check out those kind of stores for their paper plates.
Yeah, I often get ours at Hobby Lobby, too.
Oh yeah, they have pretty
all their stuff. All their holiday stuff is always 50% off, you know, when it's that season. And so that was one of the tips that I have, because for a while I thought it had to be with, you know, these glass dishes and all that kind of stuff, which it can be really fun, but it can also be really nerve-wracking when you have a lot of kids and got glass dishes and things like that. So yes, 100% on plastic utensils and paper plates. It makes the cleanup easier. It makes it faster. And things that make the day simpler make it more joyful for you as a host. If you are trying to, again, put on this, you know, this big thing and it's to the point where it's not something you enjoy and it's overwhelming, then it kind of steals that joy from you. And it's okay to keep things simple. It's okay to keep the meal simple. It doesn't have to be something that you have spent 3 hours on. You know, it can be a simple meal and still have really rich, really wonderful fellowship. One thing fun that I've done over the years when it comes to like Christmas and New Year's is I always thrift little wine glasses and goblets, because something about those are really fun. And if you spend, you know, 50 cents on a goblet and it breaks, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
You know, that is not, you know, my grandmother's antique vintage goblets and handed down. That's just, it's 25 cents or whatever it is for a little goblet. But something about that makes kids feel really special, you know.
And the flip side of that, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, on the flip side of that, if you're having a bunch of people over and there's a bunch of little kids, I'll often make like, I have the drink dispensers with the what's that called? Nozzle? Spigot. Thank you. And I'll make lemonade and tea usually. But if we're having a ton of people over or if it's just like a different scenario of kids or whatever, it's very handy to have something that they just grab a beverage, so like a juice box or a little bottle of water or whatever, and they're not having to try to do the spigot, because sometimes that's hard for little kids and you get a very sticky floor and all that. So sometimes it's nice to just get like a few things of apple juice and everybody just grabs a box and can throw it away.
I think one thing that can be stressful for people when it comes to hosting is, how do I clean my house and get everything ready? You know, because that's, you're cleaning the house and you're trying to get food ready. And, you know, think of those little things like, I need to get juice boxes. There's all that goes into it. Well, one, don't wait until the last minute. Get as much done ahead of time as you can. Make your food list like weeks before and get the things that you can, so they're already stocked. One thing that I do when it comes to like birthdays or big events, I get one of those canvas bins and I keep it in my laundry room, and anything that's for a special event just goes in that bin. So that way I'm not trying to hunt down these napkins that I bought for Christmas or for this birthday party or for something like but 5 minutes before people get there. You know, it's all just in that bin. And when it's time to set up, they're all just there. And you can also, your house doesn't have to be like fresh, fresh cleaned. You can clean a day or two before and then just make sure things are tidied up. And then the day of, all you have to do is spruce up the bathrooms because those are heavy. That's a heavy use area, right? You know, so spruce up your bathrooms and run the vacuum. And don't stress over, are my floors shiny? People are going to walk on them. Or, you know, clean the focus on cleaning the floors really well after people leave. You know, you can still vacuum and mop 1 or 2 days before people get there. Run the vacuum right before they get there or shortly before, and they're going to be fine. I don't think anybody has ever come into my house and been like, I can tell you mopped 2 days ago.
Right.
You know, but there's always going to be something that spills. And if you have busted your behind to try to get everything perfectly mopped before people get there, that can become a stress point for you. If you're like, oh my gosh, now I have to mop again twice in a day, you know, just it doesn't have to be perfect. But if you don't clean the day that you're hosting, I found that it's super helpful.
I think also that if you are feeling overwhelmed, like you want people to remember something about the experience, but you don't want to spend a lot of money or you don't want it to make you overwhelmed, you don't have to make everything from scratch. You can make cookies from scratch and buy, you know, everything else. Or one thing that I think people will remember from events or different like hosting parties or whatever is if you do a little one thing that is a little bit unique, like a hot cocoa bar. You can get different flavored marshmallows. You can put them in cute little thrifted vase, or not vases, but little dishes and containers, and get those single packets of hot cocoa and different colored straws, and kids love it. Adults love it. I mean, you could do a lemonade bar. If it's summertime, you could do a flavored water bar. You could do... you know, people love taco bars. You could do potato bars. You can do anything that's like a bar or a station, I feel like is really memorable and kind of adds something a little bit to the experience. So even if it's just, I hosted some movie nights in our backyard pre-kids, back when I had a bunch of time to spend on getting a whole backyard set up with, I made all these pallet chairs and drug literally every blanket and pillow and cushion out there. And it took half a day to set up, time I do not have now, but it was super fun. Set up a projector, watched a movie with like 20 or 30 girls in the backyard. And I did a popcorn, kind of like a little popcorn bar, like personalized, popped a bunch of popcorn, put out a bunch of movie candy and a bunch of different seasonings. People loved it. I got all those little containers that have all the red and white stripes on it from Dollar Tree. And that's something you could do with kids. If you hosted like a little kids and family movie night at your house.
That sounds amazing.
Cheap. People love it.
But I was invited into that.
I didn't know you then. Or I might have invited you.
That sounds so fun.
We could totally try it this summer and do a church movie night.
We should.
But I used to be able to ignore the mosquitoes, but now they annoy me. So I don't know how we would get around that. But
I wish that summer got dark earlier. I like this time where it gets dark early. Yeah, I don't want to wait till 9 p.m. for the sun to set.
It's also easier to do movie night with kids if it doesn't.
That's what I'm saying.
It's dark at 5 versus 8. Yeah, because you can't start a movie with a 3-year-old at 8 p.m. if you want to survive the next day. It's just not going to work. The other thing that's really niche, but I'm just thinking of random things that I did that were fun and I enjoyed and other people enjoyed and they were cheap. I did a little garden party like probably a year before I had Audrey, and invite Becky, you might have been there. I don't remember who all was there, but I got little flower pots from Dollar Tree. It was like 3 for $1. And then I filled it with little veggies and ranch.
Yeah.
Those little garden pots. So just things like that that are unique, that are fun for you to put together, and they're cheap. And if you're wanting something to be memorable, people will focus on that. People aren't going to focus on the fact that you bought a veggie platter if you have a lemonade bar. You know, or not that people should care about that anyway, but I'm just saying not everything needs to be amazing, you know?
Well, and I think that is something to think about. If you're typically a person who cooks everything from scratch and you're going to invite over a bunch of people, it is a decision you have to make. It's like, well, I really can't do all the homemade things that I normally do in life.
On?
Yeah. What needs to be the priority?
Right.
One thing I do for Thanksgiving
Yeah.
or if I'm going to have a big week or throwing a birthday party or whatever, I'll sit down like a week before at least and make out all my grocery lists and all that. But then I also make out a list of like the days leading up to the party. And like Monday, I want to do this, place my grocery order. Tuesday, I can make the pies and stick them in the fridge. Wednesday, I can, and just like schedule out what days each task will go on so that I don't just wait till the day before and then I'm making all the food and cleaning the house and doing all the things. But I'll just put like a task or two on each day leading up to whatever it is. So like for Thanksgiving, I already know what I'm making for each of our family get-togethers and stuff, and then what days that I'll put those on. But spreading it out helps a lot.
Becky, I don't know if this is a really random one that I was thinking about a lot today, and it might go better under the other topic. So I'm sorry if I'm derailing this here, but I was thinking about when you're hosting, and not that this is a have to, but it's just something that over the years, as I've hosted more and thought about it more, and we host a lot of small groups, and so do both of you. We're just all three hosting quite a bit. We go through seasons where we host quite a bit, and one thing that I've tried to watch and pay attention to is the ages of kids that I'll have in our home. So for a while there, I had all the baby toys put away. Well, we have a ton of babies, and now I have a baby. So we're going to cycle back through baby toys. And I got in the habit of bringing down a bin of baby toys because we had so many little tiny people that Audrey had grown out of the toys, but it was actually really helpful for me to pull them back out again for small group. If you're a, 50, 60-year-old hosting children, maybe it would be helpful to have a bin of toys that you pull out when kids are coming over. Or if you are in your early 20s or what have you with no kids, it might help to just run to the thrift store, grab a couple books, a couple toys. And then that helps moms that come over that will have little kids. It just kind of helps them be comfortable immediately when they step into your home. They know that their kids will be occupied by something where it makes the kids feel welcomed. And this is really specific, but at small group a couple weeks ago, before I had Oliver, we only have girl dress-up clothes because I only had a toddler girl at one time. And one of the little boys desperately wanted to dress up, but I only have princess costumes. And so he said, he calls me Aunt Tate, and he said, "Aunt Tate, could you get me a boy costume to play with?" And so I have gotten a few. I have a little few costumes in my cart, and I'm kind of keeping an eye out all for like thrifted ones too, because I want the little boys that are in our home to also be able to play. So if that's in your budget and you're going to constantly be hosting a certain age or a certain gender, just keeping an eye out for things like that can really also help the parents, especially if you're not super acquainted with the parents yet, you don't know them super well. It will help them feel welcome and their kids.
Yeah, I think one thing that has always been a blessing to me when I've been hosted is somebody anticipating what I might need. Because sometimes it's really, especially like you said, Kate, if you don't know people very well, it's a little bit unnerving to go to somebody's home and then need something and feel weird about trying to figure it out. Brandon and I've been married 9 years now, almost 10. And I still don't know all of his extended family. He has a big family. And I still, on holidays, I have to go, "Who is this person?" Because he just has a lot of people. And I remember when Elsie was little, she was like, I think 3 or 4 months old when it came time for Thanksgiving. And my postpartum anxiety was pretty high. And obviously, nursing, pumping, things like that. And now we're at somebody's house. I don't know them very well. And it was really unnerving for me to try to figure out, okay, do I go sit in the cold car to feed my baby, or do I try to find, like, I'm trying to find a room, but they didn't have kids, they don't have small babies, so it wasn't something that they had thought of. And this is not a knock on them at all, but it was something where I thought, you know what, I need to be mindful of this when I have other people to my house, when I'm not in this season of life anymore, to say, if I have a young mom come over, to say, "Hey, I have this room set up, there's a chair where you can nurse or pump." Or if you know that somebody is in a season of high anxiety where coming into a whole crowd of people or a whole house full of people is overwhelming, and They might need a break. Just letting them know quietly, not like, you know, announcing in front of the world, but quietly pull that mom aside or that friend and just say, hey, if I know you're in a hard season, if you need a minute to cry or just be away from people for a little bit, there's this room tucked back here. Here's a chair and a cozy light and take your time. Nobody's going to think anything about it. You know, I've had people do that for me before. And then I've also, like I said, been in situations where that hasn't happened and I felt really awkward. So as a host, like you did, Kate, you know, think ahead to what are some things that the people coming into my home might need? How can I anticipate that? And how can I serve them well in that? Whether that's having toys that are appropriate for them or quiet spaces that they might need, or even just having things in the bathroom, you know, like having some feminine supplies in a basket on the counter, making sure you have extra toilet paper set out, making sure you have something like poopery in the bathroom so people don't get super embarrassed, you know, just things like that can make being in somebody else's home just a lot more comfortable. And it's an easy way to serve people and love on them is just to anticipate the things that they might need coming in.
Yeah, that's good. How about we talk about a few meals that are easy and quick and good for hosting?
Well, Kate took two of mine. I always do like a nacho bar or a taco bar because it's really easy. You can keep all the toppings separate. So if you have people who have lots of allergies, they can just choose to not put those things on their plate. So nacho bar, taco bar, potato bar, like she said, those things are also really easy to prep ahead of time because you can, you know, fry up the bacon the day before and put it in the fridge. You can, you know, all those things are pretty easy to go ahead and pop into little containers or something like meatball subs with a Caesar salad and fries, French dip sandwiches, chips and dip with a salad or green beans, you know, something that's easy to throw together, easy to make in bulk. And then I heard a tip one time of anytime you have somebody coming or anytime you're hosting a big group of people and you're making a meal, always add an extra carb just to help fill in some of those gaps. So even if it's like, you know, you already have some, because usually when I make dinner for our family, I make sure we have a healthy carb, healthy protein, veggies. Those are kind of my core. That's how I structure our meals. And so I don't usually have extra carbs in my meal plans, but when you're hosting people, make sure you've got extra carbs like mac and cheese, or you make a pot of rice or something like that. So those are my go-tos.
Yeah. The other day for Oak's birthday, I did Italian beef sandwiches, that ranch dip that I've been making.
Oh yeah.
Chips and coleslaw. And it was super easy. And his birthday cake. It was super easy. Didn't take a ton of work. And it was really good. So that's an easy, really good one. Chili is great this time of year, especially just making a pot of chili and having all the stuff that goes with it. Or like tomato soup with it. I mean, you're probably not going to make a million grilled cheese sandwiches to go with it. But you could just do like an open face bread with cheese melted on top that you could just pop all that on a cookie sheet and melt it in the oven and do a very simple like cheese bread with tomato soup, or like a breakfast situation where you do like a breakfast casserole and fruit and bread. Those are the ones off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Kate, do you have any?
I wonder.
The only ones I was going to add were sliders are really easy.
Oh, yeah,
to do. Toss them and you can even pre-make them and then like cook them right before. I always do cheeseburger soup. I always make way too much and then freeze it kind of on purpose, kind of on accident. And I always like to make waffles when we're hosting for breakfast for some reason. It's just really easy. I can pre-make them, freeze them, dry them out the day of.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I have two more things. One, it's okay if you're hosting people and they say, what can I bring? Yes. It's okay to tell them to bring something.
Yes, yes. You know, ask them to bring something. Like if you're having someone over, be like, hey, do you guys want to come over for dinner? And would you mind to bless us with a dessert? You know, and if they don't want to, they can say no. But it's okay to ask someone if you're feeding them if they could bring something.
Yeah, yeah. I think sometimes there can be this ideal in our head of if I'm going to be hosting, then everything's on me. And that's not the case. You can ask people to help. It's okay.
Yeah.
The other thing is when we've hosted college students and things like that, And usually when you're making food for a lot of people, you're making a lot of food because you don't know how hungry they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want them to leave hungry. And so you sometimes, oftentimes, make an absurd amount of meatballs or you know, whatever it is. And that too much food is never a problem. Not enough is a problem. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I have done and still do is buy little take-home containers. You can get like those styrofoam containers from Sam's, or you can get like the little metal to go, like aluminum foil to go ones. And I know they're aluminum. Just tell them not to heat them in then.
Or there's also like the paper ones, like the Chinese style takeout boxes that I've got before.
Yeah. Yeah. So having some of those on hand to send home leftovers with people is just another really simple, easy way to be a hospitable host and to bless the people on the way out the door, you know, just, hey, take some cookies with you, pop them in a container and take home, you know, more meatballs or whatever you have left over. So
my sister-in-law always brings the leftover containers to Thanksgiving to divide everything. She divides everything up after we're done and then writes all our names on it. So everybody gets leftovers to take home.
Oh, like, that's you're sweet.
Such a genius.
One thing too that I just thought of is if you're having little kids in your home for Thanksgiving specifically or Christmas, I've seen coloring tablecloths where, because for some reason kids can eat so fast when they're with their friends. It takes my kids, you know, 45 minutes to finish a meal when we're just at home. But something about being around their friends, they're like done in 5 minutes.
They want to go play.
They want to go play. And so sometimes it can encourage them to sit a little bit longer and maybe eat a little bit more. And plus, it's just a fun thing for them to get to do. So,
yeah, I usually do that. I usually cover where they're sitting with butcher block paper and then draw some Indians, pilgrims and stuff on it and write their names and stuff. It's fun. Yeah. One thing that we've done, there's a lot of cousins on Jared's side of the family, and we've recently started like eating in shifts. And we'll be like, let's let all the kids, or like if the kids are busy playing and really enjoying themselves and totally distracted, we're like, let's go ahead and eat. And so the parents will go ahead and eat and like secretly get in a quiet meal on accident. And they're like, okay, guys, your plates are all ready. You guys come eat. And that actually has been kind of an epiphany of sweetness the most recent years.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. Something about as soon as kids get into a house with other kids.
Oh, like, they just want to see each other. Yeah.
Flying off. And and they're like, it's just, you know, pedal to the metal. We have to play really hard right now.
Yeah.
So sneaking a meal there. That's smart. That's really smart. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
A couple things I was going to mention too, that I've always appreciated when I'm being hosted, and that other people have mentioned or I've talked about with friends. One thing is, like, it's winter time in Illinois. Right now it's frigid outside. And so one of the things I try to always have on hand or draped over chairs are blankets.
Oh,
because I always find that it's awkward for people to ask, like, do you have a blanket? But they're there. People use them. Like, people will drape themselves with a blanket.
Yeah,
if they're out. So, or if you're at home, like I know one person that has just like cheap slippers available because they're a no shoe home. And so they just have cheap slippers of different sizes in a bin by their door. Some of like, I usually just bring my slippers to my friends' houses or vice versa. Some people bring slippers to my house, but it kind of just like things that make your home feel cozy, like having the blankets draped over. I hate the overhead lighting in my house just because we have a lofted ceiling, and so the lights are way up there. And so I always try to have lamps on as much as possible, especially in the winter time. Sorry, I have a very squeaky baby right now. Having a little playlist on in the background can kind of just help ease tension, but if you don't know somebody very well, you know, it kind of just helps to have a little playlist on. Although if you're hosting a ton of kids and you're all in the same room, you're not going to hear it anyways. But people are trickling in. It kind of sets a tone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just, you know, things like thinking about the senses. Like you notice things based on your senses. And so how can you cater to that as a host? And also just for yourself.
Yes.
Like, what do you want your home to smell like?
Yeah.
And this goes for, like, it goes for being hospitable to your own family. If you want your kids to remember certain things, like one thing that I for some reason latched onto before we even had kids. I told Ben, I want our kids to remember our mini M&M dispenser. I want my grandkids to be talking about the mini dispenser and how we always keep those at our house. And they were always available, although now they're not available for reasons that are 3 years old. In our
I was going to say, I've never experienced a mini M&M dispenser.
Always available now. Three children, they were.
Okay.
But, you know, things like, what do you want your kids to be benefited by? And you know, it not to make it all about stuff, but I think there is something so sweet about having traditions all year round, you know, in the, like Becky, well, I think both of you do go get real Christmas trees.
Yeah.
That is a tradition your kids will remember and will love forever. And that is something you intentionally chose. And it's not a bad thing to have things. Like, I associate my childhood with certain scents that my mom had, or certain meals my mom made at different times, or certain candles she burned, the lamps put on in the middle of the winter, twinkle lights she always had in winter time up. So, you know, thinking about how are your senses stimulated when you walk into somebody else's home? Like, how do you want people to remember your home? Just think about the smell, the way things taste, the touch, like blankets. Do you have fuzzy blankets? Do you have fuzzy rugs? Do you have, you know, just things that benefit you as well as your guests, I guess. And then, you know, sound. The sound of children is really sweet, but if you can hear a playlist, those are sweet too.
Bree posted this thing that was like, it's not a haunted house, it's just a kitchen vent, oven vent running, or it's not a haunted house, it's just the overhead lights are on. And I was like, yes, both of those big time for me. Like, the overhead lights are on in my house. I'm like, who did this? Who turned on the big lights?
And the monster that turned on the glaring lights.
I remember one, we had just moved into our house and we were hosting a small group, and we have that, you know, living room downstairs. We've got two big overhead lights in there, and I had all our cozy lights on. You know, I had the lights over the back of the couch on. I had the little lamps. I had the little, you know, fairy lights and the lanterns and stuff. Everything's all twinkly and sparkly. And I had done that intentionally to create a beautiful setting, you know, and that's just what our house is like all the time. I like twinkly lights, I like cozy lights. So I don't like using our big lights. Well, Brandon was like, you can't see anything in here. And so he turned on these big lights and I was like, I feel like we're getting interrogated. You know, I feel like this is no longer like a cozy small group. And so he and I were just, we were not bickering, but like goofy going back and forth in front of our small group. And all of the ladies were like, cozy lights, 100%. And the guys were like, what's the problem here? You know, so it's just funny because there's just that difference of the men see the practicality of, there's
light, more light,
you know, and then there's the women who are like, but these cozy lights, and those two perspectives are good. You know, I'm not knocking the men for that. But as women, that is our gifting is, or can be, should be our gifting of how can I make this a hospitable, cozy, spacious place? You know, if Brandon was thinking about it from my perspective, I think he'd be concerned. He was like, how can we have more twinkly lights? You know?
Yeah.
Although sometimes he does think about that, like outside and things like that. But the last tip I have is when it comes to hospitality, and I know we talked about the heart of hospitality last week, but your attitude and your heart as a host is so important. And people may not remember how clean or not clean your floors were. They may not remember, you know, what the meal was, but they will remember the way that they feel in your home and just in general, what the atmosphere of your home is like. And so one thing that I think it's just been really sweet for me to do over the years, but as I'm getting ready for an event or I'm hosting something and I clean room by room, that's just how I like to clean. I like to get one room all the way set, and then I go to the next room and get that room all the way set, you know, kind of work my way through. And I've started praying over each room as I clean it before we host, and then sometimes just on a weekly basis too, or as I clean clients' houses, I do that too sometimes. But just praying intentionally over those spaces, like, Lord, let this table be filled with good fellowship. Let this table be the place where bellies are filled and souls are nourished. And let these halls be full of laughter, joyful little voices, and happy little feet. And may this living room be a place where your presence is felt and your peace is felt and your comfort is felt and hearts are tended to and friendships are made. And, you know, you praying those praying over your spaces has such an impact on the spiritual atmosphere of your home, but also the attitude of your own heart when you're hosting. Because when you see people devouring soup at the table and mm-hmm. spilling it out of their bowls because they're little, you can see that instead of, oh, they're spilling soup on my table that I just cleaned. Instead, you can say, thank you, Lord, for this answered prayer mm-hmm. because I asked you to feed these bellies mm-hmm. and to nourish the bellies at the table. And look at that little person devouring their food, you know, mm-hmm. and it shifts your perspective and your attitude from, you know, opening up your home of here's my home on a platter. It shifts it from that to how can I use my home to the glory of God to serve people around me? And you can see those active answers to prayer mm-hmm. in that. And again, just shifts your heart towards what actually matters as a host. While we've talked about lots of really good tips and tricks and all of those are really good and helpful, we can do all of those things. But if we do it from an attitude and a heart of pride or of fussiness or discontentment or any of those things, it just undermines the entire goal of what hospitality is supposed to be, which is a service and an act of love towards others. Yeah. So that's one thing that I've loved to do is just praying over my home room by room before somebody comes over, you know? Yeah.
That's awesome. And I think that is a good tip to end on. So next week is going to be the Q&A?
Next week is how to be a guest of hospitality.
Yes. Okay. And then the following week is Q&A. So just a reminder again, take a second and go shoot us some questions. And I'm going to keep track of all of those for our Q&A at the end of everything. So thanks for listening.